Okay.
Leanne and Bruce.
I'm recording.
Okay. We'll go ahead and call the meeting at WDC to order on August 1st at 5:30. Alone.
Oh.
Invocationists.
Invocation. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here safe and sound today. Give us a pause in our busy schedule to focus on the needs of the city that we love so much. Help us stay clear in that effort. Send your Holy Spirit to speak in our ear what your will would be. And make us remember that everything is possible in your name alone. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, moving on, number two, roll call and certification of a quorum. Risa will be late. Rhonda not here, and we probably need to record that Paul is present via video conference. According
I will
with
so
government
note.
Code 551.127 that allows us to do that. You can vote.
You know what?
Number three, consideration and action to approve the agenda as posted. So I guess what? Quorum is certified.
Quorum is certified. I have so noted.
One thing maybe we could consider doing with the agenda is bump up nine. Just put it in front of the A&T report. Is that?
You know what you can do is if you want to put it up in front of treasurer's report, you could do it.
Do we want to do that? Not a problem.
You know, rip through the stuff.
Number
the
nine
top.
In front of
yeah.
So Paul is getting
under six and a half.
He's going to sit through the budget. Leanne will be here for the budget, and then they're done. Can we do it in front of the treasurer's report?
Sure.
We'll see. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, once we've gotten the agenda approved and the minutes done and whatnot, then sure, we're starting a new thing. So
let's entertain a motion to do that.
I'll make a motion to move item nine in front of item seven.
And approve the agenda?
Generally I don't do it because I do it, but in this case, since there's so few of us, yes, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda and to move item nine in front of item seven.
I'll second.
Okay. Seconded. Too late. Late to the party.
Delay. Video delay.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Paul's vote counts on all of these. Number four, public comment. Doubtful any else.
Anyone want to say something?
We did receive two grant applications after the last meeting, but they're posted on the agenda here, item 10 and 11. Number five, questions and comments from board members. Go to circle. Rick, do you have anything? Question, comment from board? Mm-hmm. Pat?
No.
Nope.
Danny?
No.
Paul, do you have anything? Stop, move it down. Say it again.
I will wait until next month.
Okay. Okay, number six, consideration action improvements of previous meeting held. Has anybody had a chance to review them and want to make the motion?
I'm looking, I didn't see any mistakes, so I'll make a motion to approve them.
Danny motions.
As presented.
Have a second.
I'll second.
Have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Sweet. Got y'all in quick. Now we go to the budget. Now we're going on to number, moving nine. Okay.
And check, did Paul get his copy?
Did you?
I should have just sent him a new copy.
From Pat?
Should have just got.
Into the phone.
This?
Yeah.
No, this.
You didn't
get that.
No, I did not get it. Did I go through all my phone?
Double check it again because I did send it a second time.
Pat sent it a second time.
Yeah, I think I figured out how to include it this time instead of just sending him the thread.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
All right.
Ready?
Mm-hmm. Now we're doing the PowerPoint.
Right, okay.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. So the one that you received has revision 2. I made that change in the email. It did not make it back to the original copy, so the only difference between what you have in color and what's on the screen is that revision 2 on the screen. So it's the same document. It should be. We'll find out. I have an IT challenge day. Okay, for today's discussion, we're going to start off with some discussion and questions I think the board had about changes that they requested. I think the best person for the books, I think the best person to address those with is Leanne. So Leanne is here. We thank her for her coming out and being part of this discussion. So those are the questions about whether we want to include in the books the changes or the breaking out of the utilities and the sales tax. We've talked about that before. And so that would be a good question to bring up with her. The next one is contingent liability format. I'll be discussing that. I've made a few changes that was emailed out to you. Then I'll go over this new report that I'm going to propose to basically it's a projection report. It shows our finances over a period of times. And then the last part will be the budget proposal. In the budget proposal, I have included, which is kind of the historic way, is that Leanne has always presented her projections based on last year's budget. So I included her submission, which you all normally would see. And you'll notice that in the final budget numbers, we added a few things to it, but her numbers were pretty much the same ones we're going with. One thing that you, that is a very specific number that she has a calculation for is our projected revenue. So if there's a question about that, I think she can address that question of how she projects the revenue. And then the budget is based on, and I've looked at what we expended, and we're only increasing in a couple areas, and we're pretty much keeping for the administrative what we had last year. So we'll go over that. Excuse me, we'll go over that in detail in a minute. So for the first discussion, for changes to the book, the two items that I brought up from the board are breaking out of the revenue items and adding a few new line items to cover expenditure or potential executive director expenses. Those expenses could be included in other line items, but. So these are the two items that I have. Leanne, if you... So the question, I guess, is we can and we do see the breakout of the sales tax and the utilities tax. We see that every time, but it's handwritten format, and it's just there for our edification. The question was raised, do we want to put that in the books? And so break that out so that when we recall the books and you see on the budget, you'll see those two line items. So, Leanne, can you address the impact or how difficult that will be, or if you have any comment on that?
I would just have to go back for the last 12 months to split it for the budget purposes, but going forward, it's just another entry. It's not really a big deal. I just wasn't sure what the purpose was behind it.
I think, like to see it.
Yeah, here.
Okay. You're on. Caller number 3. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Into the phone.
Got to talk into the phone.
He's talking into the phone.
Yeah.
What page you're on?
We are on page 2, 3.
Do you see the PowerPoint breakout?
Yeah, I see the PowerPoint.
Okay, it's the second page there.
Okay, all right. I'll get back up there.
Okay.
So my only reservation on making her change the books is it is a change to our official ledger. We can certainly provide this information in a more palatable format if we want to include that in Excel spreadsheet for historic purposes. So what we can start to do is we can take those numbers that we see handwritten every time, keep that in a running spreadsheet, and we can show that if we, and that way that you can see it, it's printed, you can see where we've gone, whether it's increased or gone down. We can do a bunch of things with it. If we ask you to change the books, we're making her, asking her to make an official change. And from my perspective, if there's no reason for us to break it apart that fits into an auditor's perspective, or from a perspective of clarity when it comes to actually maintaining our tax status or maintaining our financials, then I would say that it wouldn't fall within the litmus test of making the change. We can certainly track it. We can certainly provide it. I mean, I love the numbers that we got on the hot tax, and I want to start including that in our normal report. But I think that from a visual perspective, we need to see that. And I think that if we want to break out and put that in more of a, you know, a recorded format, then I can certainly do that and provide that every month when we meet. The question is do we want her to make an official change to the books, breaking those two things out?
Now, when you're talking about handwritten, what are you talking about handwritten?
The stuff from Betty.
I mean, that they just did that 2 or 3 years ago, because I questioned, how do we get our sales tax money? We had our board members were questioning it.
Right.
So she printed that, yeah.
Right.
She basically just printed it out. Just, you know, they basically, I guess, deposited our check in the bank. But, I mean, it was just for us to view.
Sure.
To see.
And so the question had come up that why do our books not reflect that? And so it reflects the sum, but it doesn't reflect the breakout.
Oh, the breakout.
Yes.
Really, it doesn't need to be.
So it doesn't, my position would be it doesn't need to be modified in the books, but if the directors want me to put it in an Excel format so that it's more, you know, it's easier to.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't make a formal change.
I don't see.
I wouldn't make a formal change either.
Yeah, we don't need to do it. I'd just like to see last year's each month versus this year on the true sales tax, you know, but not. Doesn't have to be in the formal
P&L. Okay. That would be my recommendation.
True sales tax, you could probably just pull from a comptroller site. I could talk to Betty and she used to probably run a report, because the utilities is done through, the city does not submit that to the state.
That's right.
But the true sales tax is submitted to the state and then given back to the city.
Yeah.
So whatever the sales tax report is from the state would be your true sales tax of the city.
See, I don't know how.
Whether or not, whatever part of that is EDC or the city, but if you were looking for the health of that tax, it would all be on the comptroller side. Because utilities is local.
Yeah, I wonder how she gets to it. I've tried to get on the comptroller, it's a nightmare.
You can find it. You can find it. But it's. Personally, I mean, I think it's good to keep track of, but I don't know if we've got to change journal
entries. No, I just like to see it more.
Right.
And
see, the perspective that I want to try and bring forward is that from Leanne manages the books. Those are her domain. She controls those. We don't mess with those. That's a legal break between the people that spend the money and the person that, you know, so forth, and manages the money. So I think that if there's a desire for me to present information, then I can certainly do that as the treasurer. So that's where I'm trying to define the role as treasurer is a differential between maintaining the books, which the treasurer doesn't ever do, and providing information to the board so they feel comfortable about our financial direction. And so if there is a report or a graph or something we need to provide, I will certainly preside. I'll get the information from Leanne or whoever I need to get from, and I can present that on a monthly basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think the format you're doing now is
fine. I mean, what's been going on is fine. You know, the thing is, I've looked at it for so long, you're used to seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
Change is good, but sometimes it isn't.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I'm used to seeing that, so I know exactly where to look for it. Or whatever. Mm-hmm.
The one nice thing about keeping track of that is if we were to have some sudden fluctuations, you know, something out of whack for several months, and we want to go back and look at why.
Quarterly.
Yeah, a quarterly would probably be fine. You know, that's probably because then you can say, okay, we're down because utility sales are down, or we're down because our businesses are suffering and we're not collecting enough sales tax. That might be interesting. And I think the way it's being done now is fine. But if you want to do like a quarterly, here's where we go, that's always kind of a nice thing.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll just my pen's probably sitting over there. I will just add I'll put a little spreadsheet together. It's real simple to do. Okay, and then the new potential items to cover for possible expenses for the AED, I will, there's a pin. One of those is the recruitment fee that we would have for an executive director, which I budgeted for, and we can go over that and debate it later, but I put in for $1,000. And then Garrett and I went over potential increases in expenses like supplies and for travel expenses potentially. So I think that could we put recruitment expenses under contracted expenses or something like that? Okay, so I don't think we need to add another line item for that. So I don't think there are any proposed... So are there any proposed changes for line items in the books?
One thing that we had discussed, and it, we could probably make it as like an additional, not change, is picking up the expense on the lights.
You got that.
We did. It's in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Put it under maintenance and utilities.
Perfect. Okay.
Like it fits there.
Perfect. And that's where I was thinking it should go as well, because we already have it, we already have sufficient funds in there for it as now. Okay. Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally we like budget 15 grand. It was 16.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so any other potential changes, requested changes of the books?
Tell me something, you know, am I in the law, the dark here or something? You've got three columns, budget, budget, budget. What's the difference? Looking at the contract, you know, for an executive director, 45, 30, and 15.
Okay, do we want to go to the budget now?
Oh, I thought that
was we're getting there. We're getting there. So I'll address your question though.
Okay.
Originally, because I have the spreadsheet here, so when we go in and plug numbers for executive director, we can play with it until we get a number we like. I had put out there that I would put a couple different options out there,
okay.
And I didn't, and then the request came, hey, you said you were going to do that, so you better do it. So I did it. That's why there are three columns. So the, but that's was three different options, but when we get into the budget, we'll be able to play with the numbers and get the thing to zero.
I'm sorry. Okay? I'm
no, absolutely. Sorry. No. Okay, so no more questions here. We'll move on to the next one. Okay, so I am proposing a change to the report. The report is the format. Did you have a question? Okay, so the report, right now we're copying a lot of things. I do get that entire report right here, and I'm more than willing to spend time with the directors to go over it personally if they have questions. I think from a perspective of scanning, which is a long, cut a bit of business, and then printing out and sending everybody, saving some trees, I recommend that we go to justify the balance sheet, the P&L, the financial projections, which all it's a new, which is a new form I'll go over today, the contingent liability report, which we're all familiar with, and then the expense requests, because we have to approve the monthly expenses. I recommend that we go to a shorter format so that we can save paper and time for Leanne every month.
I would make one suggestion, though.
Yes.
I do think we need to have the... at least one copy of all the receipts that go into the minutes, into the book.
Okay, so I can, okay. All right, then what I will do is...
well, you're going to have it, it'll be in the folder.
Right, I'll have it in the folder. But if it's going to go in the minutes, then we are going to make a thing. So, yeah. So I'll tell you what.
I mean, I just think the minutes are where that's the official record, you know, so...
Are these not the official record?
The minutes, when we get audit, and we'll see what the new auditors want to do.
No, sure.
They want to see the minutes.
Yeah.
They want to see all the minutes that we sent. Mm-hmm. And in the minutes, I write down, it's, you know, $50 to the Belleville Times this month for whatever. And that's usually good enough. If that's fine by the auditors, they don't need, but I got to think somewhere.
Well, I give them all those files for the audit. So I give them all the financial files. I have all the...
If,
and I keep it by meetings, so I just keep it back behind that paper.
As long as there's a record that goes through the, that's my only thing. Okay. So it doesn't, that's fine by me.
Okay. And if necessary, I can make you a copy of this. Instead of scanning and going through that process and putting it all together, I can make you a copy.
Just whatever's the legal, whatever we've got to keep a record of. Is
okay. Fine. All right. So that's a recommendation I'm making to the board, that we reduce our paper and time that we're asking Leanne to scan all that stuff in. Okay, so is there any concerns with that request?
No.
Okay. All right. So the next thing I'm going to go over is the contingent liability form, which I've made a couple changes. There is a printout here if you do not have a full copy. It is here somewhere. There they go. You can follow along in your PowerPoint, or I also provided it as a separate document.
This would be page 5, Paul.
Right. So what I did was Garrett found some corrections, and so let me pull it up on the screen. And I've made those corrections in the document. I'm just dealing with two screens here. Okay. So what I have done here is I have placed all of the projects at the top. So we have the Turn Variant, the Quiet Zone, and the Belleville Medical Center. I've tried to go back and I went through the books and found out when the checks were written for those various things, how much we paid, how much was committed, and how much was left over. So at the bottom here, and this is pretty much what we've seen in the past, the one big change I've made is with the business grants. This is pretty much just laid out a little bit differently, but it shows you what our total outstanding for the projects is, which isn't a big change for what we've seen in the past. Okay. The one question I have is, did we pay the Quiet Zone Technology Group?
No.
Okay. I was surprised by that, but the books didn't show that.
Still has not submitted a bill.
We paid them something for the first
round one, but we haven't paid anything on round two yet. And I've told him that a couple times, and he's like, you know.
So here you can see what our outstanding commitment is. So for the Turn Variant, we have $100,000. For the Quiet Zone, we have $182,000. The Belleville Medical Center, we have $62,000 plus change. So you can see overall, for all of our projects, we have an outstanding commitment of $345,000. For the grants, I've added some information. This information has been, most of this information has already been here, but it's all been in the same line, so I've broken this out. I also went back into QuickBooks to find out when they were paid. Garrett found a couple corrections I had to make for the type. And then, so what this shows is what was paid, what was committed, and what's still outstanding. So what this tells you at the end is our total outstanding commitment. And then it kind of puts these together so you can see what's been paid. So some of these were paid in groups. And sometimes they pay $1,000 or whatever, and so you can see what's actually going into them. So this is a proposed modification to how we show our contingent liabilities.
On that projects.
Yeah.
Signage, make that like a separate line, I mean.
Which one?
Medical Center, right there.
Right here?
Yeah. Like.
Okay, that's the only, was there two checks written for that, Leah?
We've only written one
so
far.
Right.
We've got to write the other one.
Right, but it's the only thing that's been signed so far. So there'll be another one in there, but.
For signage.
Right. I thought we paid.
Well, no, we actually paid on the IT.
We paid the
signage is turned in.
Yeah. Although, I would say, and that's fine, I would say that we approved it as one number. So.
I was just looking at like.
So really, this is just IT.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can. So let's. Okay, so what I can do.
Separate it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That way we know what it's for.
Fine. So I can do this.
Yeah,
it says IT on there, but
yeah.
But there's signage.
The signage is outstanding.
The remainder.
So I'll just have to break that 133 out. So what is that?
62,178.
Yeah, whatever that number is. 62,498.
62,498.78. This is 70,943.22.
This year, our fiscal year, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, we have to carry that stuff over because, like, turn
the well, we talked about that, and that's what I was like, some of that stuff. It was approved and in the 17 budget, but not paid until 18. Approved in 18.
Well, I do like the formats you got. So, like the Chase Graves was in the a 2018 budget item. Mm-hmm. The Space is a 2019. Oh, okay. It tells you where it came from. So that's good.
Yeah,
that kind of answers.
And,
that question.
And again, remember too that these were paid in this quarter.
Yeah.
This budget period.
Yeah,
so
yeah. No, that's fine.
11/1/2018 is 18, but it was in this fiscal year.
I think that's a good way to go. Because so
if we get through this fiscal year.
Well, no, they were approved in 2019 budget and then paid in 2020. Right. So I like that idea of
the approved date.
Yeah, leave the approved date.
Like, how would we do that, though, I guess, is what we kind of talked about it last meeting. Like, when we're sitting here trying to stay within budget on our grants.
Well, they are items from that year.
That when we approved them.
That when we approved them. So, yes. So, now, when we...
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, we carried them over. So, we need to be aware that that's kind of the contingent liability. But I think you're covered here. I mean, I'm,
oh, I know.
We need
to talk about, like, for our own knowledge. Like, all these are 2019 budget items. So, when the new year starts, do these... When we cut the check... In 2020 budget.
No, right? It would be when you, the, within the year that it was approved.
Okay.
So it would carry over. So right. We can't spend. So let's say we have a $15,000 budget and we spend $10,000 on these items. And we're supposed to carry that $5,000 of unspent over if, well, if it was allocated.
Let's use these for the example.
Yeah.
Like we approved these Rufus Pleasant, Maribel, and Carabel Village bonds in 2019.
Right.
So there's 15,000. That's about it. That's 15,000.
Right. We give them 9 months to turn it in.
But when they, what does it count at? Like when we start the new year, do we already count that we've spent about? We got to account 15,000. Maybe bigger. Does it?
I think so. Leanne, can you?
Am I making sense?
No, we don't. I mean, as we pay them, we
feel like we don't penalize
ourselves. We move it to the current year. I mean, but whenever we pay it, because the books are kind of like more on a cash basis, so we
book the expense.
What we could do is go back, or going forward, what you could do is set up like a liability for approved grants that haven't been paid. And so then as you pay them during the year, it's not going to show up on your profit and loss. It's going to go to the balance sheet.
That's what I guess I'm getting at, because we've got to, let's say our budget was $20,000 for our program. Next year, and none of these hit until next year. Have we already spent $15,000? When we have to pay, when I say hit, when we have to cut up a check, have we already spent $15,000 now? Because we held ourselves back at the end of this year, maybe let's say we were at budget, we approved all these, we're being responsible, saying we don't want to go over
Good, you got
a
computer.
Then, you know what I'm saying? Kind of, no.
Yeah,
tell me if you're done. I mean,
you're saying it'd be easy just to set up an actual liability account. You just have to know that whenever we go to cut it, it's not, you're not going to see it.
That'd
you get
be
your
fine.
P&L and somebody's like, well, why isn't there a $10,000 check on it from last month?
Yeah.
Well, it decreased your liability on the balance sheet.
I just want to know, make sure we.
Yeah, I mean,
one of the other
well, we've, the way we've always done it is if we had a, like when we had a $15,000 budget on something, you know, that's how much we can spend in that year. And then once we've approved, what, that we can approve. So if we can approve up to $15,000 in this fiscal budget year, and then once we've hit that limit, then we can't approve anything else until the new year starts.
But then when check was,
just set up a liability account.
When the check was cut.
Every time you approve one of those, it just becomes, it hits that.
Particularly when you give them a 9 month grace, I mean, essentially, you're almost guaranteeing most of the stuff is going to be in the next year.
If you don't go in the next
let's
budget
record
year.
Risa got here.
I did. I already wrote that down. Wrote down the time.
Where are we at?
Budget.
Show me the text.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went right to it. So we didn't do anything.
Paul is on a video conference with us here.
Hello, Paul.
So one way we could do in the books is what Leanne is describing, is put in a liability account so that you basically pull out of that. So my understanding then is that once we commit to something, then that money would go into an account. And then when it's paid, it would come out of that account. So it's just a shuffle of money from the ledger into an account, which we call, you know,
2019
budget.
We're splitting out the 18 and 19s too.
But I think the question is, and it goes back to, is it a management question or is it a book question? Because the books, we can mess with the books all day long. We can modify the books to make them look exactly like we want. Like, for example, what Leanne is doing with the one payment so that we see a budget that makes sense to us. Or we could understand that we need to manage that through another document that tells us what's going on, which is the purpose of this document. So the question really comes down to, is it a fiduciary responsibility to show this? So is it, again, is a CPA going to require us to do this? Or is it just something we need to see as managers of an account? You see, that, and that goes back to the same thing.
I think we just need to see it. Yeah. I don't know if...
Because this basically does what we need to see.
It's a lot better.
But it would be easier, I think, if you saw, like, let's just say you had $10,000 that you said we're going to spend in the 2019 budget, like, on whatever grant it's going to be. Then let's say that, you know, Rufus wants a $10,000 sign. Mm-hmm. So you approve that grant. So what I would do is just expense it right away, even though you haven't paid it, and then I put it on the balance sheet as liability. And then every time you got your report, you just have to know that that profit and loss is not just cash, that right. That's actual, like...
It's kind of what we're doing.
We've already expensed it out. Yeah, we've expensed it all out, but it's, you know, you still have that liability hanging out there.
Right. Yeah.
Which is probably, it's really probably the more practical, like the better way to do it if you want to actually track what you're approving every year within that fiscal year.
Sure.
Well, yeah, that way we know, like, if we budgeted this,
And but then, you've got to also figure out what you consider business improvement, how much are you actually spending on that? Because last year, I wanted it to all be lumped into one number. So if you...
Anything I'd say, we got to start clarifying where it comes from.
That's another thing that we had talked about, and I apologize for missing it. We had talked about breaking out the two between what we are calling projects or hits on the reserve and business grants. And in our budget, we actually called it out in our budget. We call one of them, what do we call one of them?
Salt. It should all be now.
We call it development
it.
Opportunities and, but anyhow,
business improvement.
Yeah, business improvement and development.
Now it's,
So, but I would say that if we do Leanne's way, which is, again, a way we could do it, then we wouldn't need this anymore. Because she can print out a report that shows what our liabilities are. We'll already know what we're committed to, because it'll hold that. It'll take that money out of the account.
But the liabilities would be one line.
But you could break that out, is what I'm saying. You could print out a report with all the bills in there to show, it would show all this and show that it's in as a bill. So you could print out a report from QuickBooks that would say, these are all our contingent liabilities. This is what we owe. And it would show activity against it. So it would just be kind of like a payables and receivables. It's how I do projects for my company. It's exactly the same thing. You know when a project is paid up. A project can be 7 years old and you get the last payment and then everything comes in, but you know when I put those bills in, when I put all those expenses in 7 years ago, it told me what my profit margin was for that project.
And that'd show up on like the balance sheet? Would it
show? Yeah, I run a detailed report for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it'd show all these business names and what they're for?
It's just that showed you, that kind of goes back a little more historical. I could go in and put all those in and switch the books back and probably be something easier like going forward.
Now we're talking about changing the books.
Just do the stuff that's not been paid.
Yeah, we're talking about changing the books.
But we don't have to do that.
We don't have to do that. And so that's what I'm saying is that we don't have to do, if this serves us, then we could do that. If we're going to go and do a liability account, then it's basically we're taking that and putting it back in the books.
I don't.
Because it's going to show ins and outs. And I get debits and credits mixed up all the time, but to put a debit or a credit into that account, it has to go with a name. So when this one goes in, Chase Graves Functional Strength Software Improvement, it's going to go in there as a $2,000 and it's going to sit there, and then you're going to show it as unpaid. And it's going to sit there until it's paid. But it's still deducting that from your overall assets. It's a liability.
What you don't like, though, Garrett, is that you get the P&L right now and it shows you're way over budget, but you're not because it was money from. So if you wanted to make that report easier, then that's a better way to do it, to run it through the books.
Right, but we also talked about just doing, if we're going to do a reserve expenditure, then we just do a request for a modification of the budget.
Oh, like the bigger ones, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And well, then I don't think you have to modify the budget for a special project pulled out of reserves, right?
I mean, all I want to know is how much have we approved, how much have
we
spent, what's available.
If you look at our P&L, we've blown through the budget already.
Well,
because the hospital
payment
went on there.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have. Because it doesn't fall within that realm. I mean, that's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Well,
how does it not come back it up?
Historically, they were all the grant program stuff was paid through that the $15,000 or $20,000 line item.
Right.
And then there's that everything else.
Right.
But then if there was an amount requested bigger than either of those two or numbers or those two numbers combined, we just pull it out of the cash or the CDs.
Right.
But then it's still like so.
So it may just look like we're over budget.
We are over budget. Big job. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because we've gotten permission to be over budget. See, that's the thing. I mean, it's from City Council. So City Council says it's okay.
We're back to not having like the useful tool.
Well,
so Leanne, hold me on this one. If we pay off the liability that we budgeted in 2018, we pay it off in 2020. Does it come out of the 2020 budget?
It does the way it goes right now.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Because it's just hitting it by cash. Because pretty much the payment is by cash.
And that way, like if we broke these out between years, like we'd have to forecast, like, well, I don't think Rufus Pleasant's going to hit in this 19 budget.
Because I just don't know how you can carry forward liabilities in cash without making an account.
Yeah, I think it's almost easier just to switch it going forward and like whatever you don't, you shouldn't really have anything on there, or maybe you do, that's older than this.
Should we just cut all the checks now or like log them all in this year?
We can log in this year's liability going forward.
If she creates a liability account and we immediately indicate that it's a liability at the time that it's approved, then it comes out of the budget and goes to that account and it's gone.
Is that like a good way to do this?
I mean, I am the weakest numbers person in the world.
No, I am.
Okay. Why? No. But I'm a quick fix girl. Thank God. I've never been able to do all this stuff with this. Okay. Why can't we put this in as a bill?
We can't.
And show it as an accrual basis.
That's what
we are on an accrual basis.
That's what we're just suggesting a change to. Yeah. As we're talking about this, we can totally
just,
do
it's
that.
Just accounts payable.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about doing.
I mean, that's why everybody, that's
you
fine.
Stupid.
What is your hang up with that?
Nothing.
Well, I think the difference is nobody was spending money like this before. Do you understand? I don't mean it in a negative way. I'm saying for years it's gone where it's like there was a big budget, but it really didn't matter if it hit because people would come in and they would get the money and they would go. It wasn't like this, like, I'm going to turn in a signed thing and we don't get a check for it.
We'll get it for 6 months.
You know, or even a year. I mean, some of these people have dragged out.
Most of
time.
I mean, but the reason for for an actual working P&L and balance statement is that you make sound decisions.
Right. So I'm happy to change it to that.
I'm just thinking whatever works best for in our brains.
Oh yeah.
I'm fine with the way we have it.
I don't care if we need a rearrangement for the city. That's two buttons that Leanne pushes for a different report. What works well for me is to see. I want to know exactly what we have committed.
I like this format, to be honest with you.
And from
the
format
meeting needs to go, it really needs to go through the books.
Yeah. I like that up there. I think that's.
I do not like the contingent liability thing at all. I want to see.
You want to see where the accounts payable.
I mean, we don't have receivables, but accounts payable and what we got to spend and what we spent.
Because if we do the accounts payable, then it won't mess with the budget. And if, for example, somebody fails.
On there too, so that we can pull that off.
Part is on the. I mean, we can pull it off the budget, the principal payment off the budget.
Yeah.
You just have to remember you're committed.
But it's there.
But it would be on this list then, no?
I mean, it's on the balance sheet. Clark Park's on the balance sheet.
But it's a long-term liability.
Yeah,
right.
It's
a short-term liability.
Right.
And the thing, too, is if we approve something 2 years ago and then they default, they don't follow through, we remove the bill and it's gone. And now that money is no longer, it's back in the system.
Well, I know this is not going to, but this 9 months for this grant is way too long.
You ain't lying.
We need to back out of that, and this would solve a lot of this problem. We would have a decent,
I don't really understand why. I mean, they did that Chrysler study like years ago.
Yeah.
We still carry.
He's still working on it, and I guess his theory is he's going
to
send us a bill when he's done. Yeah.
Because I didn't know until he got approval or something.
But as long as that's an accounts payable,
right.
we can wrap our head. I can wrap my head around
right.
I'm fine to switch it. It's just things have changed over the last year or so where y'all have more activity. That's great. Put it on the balance sheet. I mean, it would be easier for it to all be clean in one place. But you can still keep that if it helps serve a purpose.
I can still maintain that for you. We'll call it the Pat Burns official.
Well, I think it's just handy. All I want to know is, what do we got committed?
Well, and see, the thing is, is that
what do we have available to spend?
We can print out a payables
and what budget,
and it'll show you everything we owe.
The budget thing doesn't bother me in the least. But
if we have,
I leave that for you because it doesn't bother me at all.
Me either. I'm with that.
Okay, if we have $20,000 budgeted for 2018 and $20,000 for 2019, okay, and let's say we approve all these grants in 2018. But they don't get paid in 2018. But then we get to 2019 and also approve all of them. And then they both hit and get paid in 2019. Right now, we're showing that we've done $40,000 in business improvement grants in 2019. Even though we only budgeted 20 and only approved one.
And right. So if somebody is looking at our books from afar that has no idea what we're doing, it's very skewed.
Right. Council.
Well, so there's two points to this. One, if we switch to accrual and do bills, then that'll be resolved. But it goes back to, again, what are the purpose of our books? Is the purpose of our books to maintain a fiscal record of what we're doing for auditing purposes?
Yes.
Or is it to manage this corporation?
Both.
To a certain degree, absolutely. But I would say that the primary function of this is to fit the auditors, and they're going to convert it to cash, and that's how they're going to do taxes and all that fun stuff. But it's just a simple switch of the button to go from cash to a bill.
I do that all the time. Yeah. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's
no big deal. We can certainly do that. And then we'll solve the budget problem.
What are we doing?
We can print out a payables list, and that's our contingent liabilities. We can still keep doing this, but it now is a QuickBooks report. And it's going to hold us to it. This is your liability. You owe $350,000, and these are the people you owe it to. And then when we pay it, it goes back to that bill that was written in 2017, and it shouldn't affect it. It's coming out of a different pot, so it won't affect
it. It'll break down by year, I guess.
Whenever Leanne puts it in. So we can make the policy that as soon as it's approved, then within a certain amount of time, she goes in and puts the bill in, and now that's committing us in our ledger to, in our books, to that person. So, you know, whatever this is. So,
but
let's say Rufus Pleasant, on whatever that we agreed to do that, she would go in within that month, put in the bill, backdated to the day we approved it, and then on that day, now we're committed to Rufus Pleasant for his sign grant. And if he never follows through on it, she goes in, deletes the bill, that $2,000 goes back into our
account. It'll go against the budget year that it was approved.
It won't affect the budget year, correct?
No, it's just that. I mean, I would probably reverse something to you.
You're in a budget world. You almost have to adhere to the budget.
Yeah.
And I'm a per job girl.
Right.
I want to
stay within our budget for 2018, 19, 20, 21, and I want the approvals, whatever we're going to call them, to follow that.
How do you fix that?
You're still alone.
It solves both problems because it'll keep him in the same.
Hang on.
Book everything to that year. Do you know what I'm saying? Like right now, I'll go in and check.
Hold on a second.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
But there's a lot of discussion.
Okay, we had you for a second. Now it's gone.
Okay, I'm trying.
Better. We can hear you.
Okay. You don't get them.
Give it here. I'm going to call him on the phone. Paul, just don't tell anybody. I'm going to call you on the phone.
Okay.
That's just a really loud, light speaker.
Well, I have a brand new phone. It's driving me crazy. It'll be really loud,
Greg, is there anything up there before we continue?
Yeah.
Puts it in as a liability and puts it in your payroll.
It's a liability, but you didn't pay the bill, so how can you?
No, it is a bill. It's a to be paid. It's accounts payable.
It's accounts payable.
It's not in your ledger as a pay bill. It's an accounts payable.
Goes into accounts payable as a liability.
It just hits it. You just can't think of the P&L as a cash statement. You have to remember you expensed it.
Yeah.
But that's truly, if that serves your purpose, if it shows you against your budget, so you've approved $10,000 this year of grants, and you had $20,000, you can only approve $10,000 more.
Right.
When you're done, you're done. Or you've got to dip into reserves.
Yeah.
You can look at it that way.
To me, it doesn't. Either way, it's fine. Using this sheet still or reflecting it on the balance sheet, I just want to make sure that we know where we're standing.
Well, and so
we don't right now, and don't let anybody else think differently.
Well, balance sheet's more appropriate.
Yeah.
Now that you have all these things that aren't being paid when they're requested, I mean, before things were just paid as you went.
Yeah.
Now
go
that
do
there's
the sign
things
and turn
that
it in.
Are lingering, it would be better for it to be on the balance sheet because then it's more accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
And so one of the things that I'm proposing is, so this is all part of the discussion about what is our actual, how much money do we have to allocate? And then in the past, I identified that we really don't know. I mean, we can do the math and we can ask Leanne, we can do some, and we can come up with a number, but we don't see that on a routine basis. So you would see that if we went to an accrual basis and we could see that more clearly. What we have now meets the auditor's requirements. It meets our fiduciary responsibilities, but we're now making documents, being one of them. And then the next thing I'm going to show you, the graph, it shows you the two things that we don't see right now, which is the contingent liabilities on a cash basis, because we don't see that. And we don't see the how much money do we really have to grant. And I'm going to start showing that from now on. The other thing that it does is it impacts the budget, which is what Garrett's saying. So right now we have a system that works, but it throws our budget off, and we have to have two additional documents to show what the real health of the business is. If we go to accrual, then that'll all go into the system, and we can use QuickBooks reports to show what the true health is. And it's not that hard, we just have to make that shift, and then let Leanne do her magic and figure out how best to report it. We have a functional system now, but it does impact the budget. It throws the budget off. So it's really a, what does the board want to do? We can go either way.
I don't know. Keep up with all this.
Yeah, well, and Leanne is speaking truth on this, so she knows what, I'm pretty sure she knows what we're asking her for.
Yeah.
So if we ask her to go forward and shift to accrual, then I think she knows exactly what to do. But we do have a system
like over the next month, not like it's not like a, what it would look like.
Well, it's a month to do it because it's going to be your last month of the fiscal year. I mean, September will be your
just
last
like
month.
A sample though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would that do us any good?
I mean, you could just take
just
a copy.
I can just put a sum. I'll just do the total sum.
We actually have two separate issues here today. One is we're discussing how to do the budget format, which we can
we
do whenever.
And I guess we
the only thing we have to do today is to approve the budget.
Correct.
So the format we could actually take up next month as well, as long as we approve the budget this
progress.
Month.
Progress, yeah. We'll survive, yeah.
Yeah.
How about we just submit it both ways next month? It's just, I can enter
that's
one journal entry
yeah.
as a sum, and then I can
we'll just pick which one we like better.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you didn't miss anything. We're moving back just to budget. We've got to approve the budget tonight. So we'll stew on how we're going to do our actual accounting.
Okay.
No.
We'll do that next month.
Leanne's going to show us what both of them would look like next month. That would make it visualize it.
All right, so I'm going to skip to the graph so we can save a little time. The numbers behind it are there so you can look at them. But two of the graphs that I'm going to start showing from now on, this is based on our current projected budget for 2020. The blue line is what our cash and our what do we call them the
total current assets
the, what are the line, what are the, we have our certificates. So we have our cash and we have our certificates. And so that is, and then we also have a delta in the budget, right? So the budget is geared toward the end of the year that we spend 0 money. So sometimes we take in money and sometimes we spend money. So we have a positive and delta cash flow. So the blue line shows us our assets, our cash, and our certificates, plus the cash flow.
Which okay. The line listed as total current assets, correct?
Right.
Okay.
The gold line is showing us with our liabilities, and I call it the buffer. So if you take into account all of our liabilities and all of our cash, that's the delta. So if we paid off everything we owed with every time we had, that's what would be left over, including Clark Park. The line in the gray is if we paid off everything in cash on what our commitments are without touching our certificates and without touching our Clark Park. So you'll see that that gray line is right along zero. So anything we grant above budget is going to go into our certificates. If you're asking how much can we grant before we go into debt, that's the gold one.
The gold
one. Okay. No, the orange line. I'm sorry, the orange line. So basically what we're saying is we have the ability to grant $100,000.
The one you call total.
Yeah.
Okay.
$100,000.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to start presenting on a monthly basis so that we can start looking at where we are financially. And this is the last little piece to our contingent liability question. Got it, this is how much we owe. How much do we have to spend? That's this. If we want to stay in cash, it's this one. If we want to spend our certificates and everything, our savings accounts, it's this one. Okay. So this is something I'm going to start including, but it's the second part to that contingency liability question. All right, so on to the budget. This was what Leanne submitted. I want to show that on the record so that we understand what our book expert has shown is based on history and what she projects.
What's that?
Her projected revenue is $208,994.
It's a VDEC budget for fiscal year 6.
And we have...
Page 9.
Is it 8? Okay.
9, I got.
I'm on 9.
9, I'm sorry.
Okay. And we projected that out for zero profit. So we're going to spend what we make. Okay, so I have now on the last, basically the last page with the three columns. All right, so these numbers are what Leanne presented plus a little bit more. So we didn't make any changes to advertising or audit expense or contracted services or marketing. And we didn't change anything in the revenue side. I did add the yellow line, and that is, remember, I was asked to put in for three different estimations for the executive director. The numbers are odd because we don't need an executive director on day one. We probably won't need or be ready for an executive director until the beginning of next year. So that makes it 9/12 of what, so what is that, 3/4 of what we actually need to spend. So $45,000 is actually $60,000. $30,000 is actually $40,000. And $15,000 is actually $20,000. So I think $60,000, my estimation of what I think her workload is going to be, or that person keeps saying her because I know so many female executive directors, is probably $60,000. $40,000, $20,000. Going on down, we didn't change. There's a line item, I apologize, I thought I'd remove it for insurance. Leanne, what was that? There's a line item for insurance, but I can't find it on your proposal.
We haven't used it in years. We never had to use it.
So I apologize, remove the insurance line. I thought I removed it, but I didn't.
It is. It's gone up here on ours.
Okay, then.
My page.
Good. That was one of the fixes I had to make. Legal expenses, we didn't change. Professional changes, we didn't change.
Man,
I'll tell you what, let's do this, because what I printed out is, let's go do this. This is better. Okay, so we're looking at the same thing here. Insurance is no longer on this list. Okay, so insurance is gone, job training, legal expenses, recruitment fees. That was the one I added in there. I estimated probably $1,000. Probably going to be a lot less than that, but just in case. Subscriptions didn't change. Supplies went up significantly to support an executive director. That went from $250, I think it was, to $5,000. Travel expenses went up a little bit, primarily to support us. And then the nature of the executive director comes into play. If it's an employee, if it's a contractor, unless it's in the contract, we don't have to pay for mileage. That's something to think about. And then the website, $2,000, which didn't change. So you can see that our two potential administrative, let me find the line here, total administration is either $93,340 or $63,000. Where that impacts us is how much we can grant. So if we take on a $60,000 executive director, we can grant $84,000 next year. If we take on a $40,000 executive director, we can grant $99,000. If we take on a $20,000 executive director, and I don't know anybody who would be an executive director for $20,000, but we may find somebody, we'd be able to grant $114,000. You will also notice that the maintenance utilities went up by $1,500 based on the inclusion of the lights on the square. And so that went from $15,000 to $16,000. For our total grants to be between $100,000 and $130,000. Marketing didn't change, and so basically, you'll notice that the sum value on this is zero. Now, if there's any, I can manipulate this. If we want to change a budgetary item, I can change that, and I'll show you what the differences will be. So, if there are any changes, so let's start here. Are there any questions we have for Leanne on the projections for revenue? Because nothing's changed from, and that's projection from Leanne.
Yeah, that's based on current year, right? Yeah.
Okay. It's based on
previous 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Changes on administration other than, I'm sure we're going to talk about this a little bit, other than the executive director. Okay. Everything other than the LOI. And that which would be affected by the LOI. So that would be subscription and supplies. So not subscription, I'm sorry, but recruitment and supplies. Any changes that you... that the board feels appropriate for administrative fees. Okay. Questions, comments, thoughts on where we should be with the budget? And again, the true impact is right here. Let me highlight the line for you. That's the impact. So the more we spend on executive director, the more we spend, or the less we can spend on grants.
So just so I understand, so in the first column there, that's $45,000 for an annual?
That's what we would pay next year. Remember, we wouldn't hire one probably until the beginning of the year.
So you're looking at, you're...
I think we had 60, 40, 6, and 20.
60, 40, 20.
Okay, 60.
You looked at it annualized.
And that's based on, 60 would be based on starting them after the first quarter, 40 would be after the second, no?
Different levels.
Right. So the question was, is how much do we want to spend on or budget for an executive director?
Okay.
If we want to budget for a $60,000 a year executive director for 2020, it would be column G.
Okay.
If we want to budget for a $20,000 executive director, it would be up. Now we can change that to 35, 40, 900 million, whatever we want to change that number, it will affect everything else. So if we think that, the only thing we have to take into account is it's 3/4 of whatever we spend.
Gotcha.
So if we want to spend, if we think maybe $50,000, I change that number, it changes all the numbers down. And I can, if there's any number that people want to throw up, I can do that, we can see the effect on it. But if you take $15,000 out of the executive director, your ability to put in for grants goes up $5,000.
What were the things? Supplies. What were the things we changed? Supplies, travel?
We changed supplies, and we talked about changing travel, but we changed it back because that would be contingent in their contract.
Yeah. Supplies. But didn't we do education?
Education was $2,000.
Job training, yeah.
Job training. And that's for us, not for them. A contractor, you don't need to educate.
Right. So... I mean, essentially, it's we got to decide where we're at there. I mean, those other expenses are all in line with what we did last year, unless somebody doesn't agree with that. It's deciding what we want to do on the executive director, which would be the main thing it affects, I guess.
You know, what if we go for the $60,000 and we find out the one we're going to have is going to cost us $80,000, can we go back to city council and get an amendment to the budget, perhaps? We could.
Sure.
I mean, if you had to, I mean, seeing we couldn't.
I guess the question is, do you want to have the discussion with about an executive director with city council now, or
no,
do you want
I'm
to
just,
do that later? Because either way, you're probably going to have that discussion. Mm-hmm. And I know the pros and cons of putting somebody in the line budget, and that's really what this budget discussion is going to be at city council this month would be.
Yeah.
And you want to hire an executive director. How's that going to work? So, I mean, that's really the question here.
And we could always take the line item out and request a budget increase when we present the justification. And I can tell you now, based on what we're seeing, that there is a need for this person. And I think we all see it. But I think that what we're, the goal of what we, and the good thing about having the diverse number of people on the strategic plans committee is that, you know, with the mayor and Doug Lockridge on there, they see the justification and how much work is someone's going to have to do. So when we take that plan to city council, it's going to come with a tag that says, and you need somebody to help execute this. So by the end of this year, we'll have justification for somebody. Whether city council deems it's worth a $20,000 person or a $60,000 person, I think that it'll be, my estimation, I think they'll see the value and more in the higher end than the smaller end, because they won't be answering phones other than as a side job. They'll be actually working for the betterment of the city. And that's one of the goals of the strategic plans committee, is to justify and to give that person something to do that is constructive.
And with the grant applications,
yeah,
that is just a nightmare. It really is. Right. It's a disaster.
And
off my plate.
You know, the philosophically, is $84,000 where we want to be when it comes to grants for the city? Because we still have our reserve of about $100,000. And is the difference, how do we feel about the difference between grants in the city of $84,000 and $114,000. I mean, $84,000, I think, is a good stimulus. Is $114,000 as a stimulus to the city worth not having an executive director? Is reducing the stimulus to the city by that amount appropriate? Because it really comes down to that. How much do we want to stimulate? How much do we want to provide back to the city for stimulus?
Well, and then traditionally that line has also been kind of the savings account for projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of how, for the last several years, how we've really thought of it. You know, like, we've given out quite a bit in grants this year, but we still have quite a bit left over. And for projects like the hospital, like the pavilion, like whatever, you know, that's always been kind of the savings account. Do we save up? And I guess that's the philosophical question. Are we going to more active, fewer project-based model? Because if you have fewer projects, that's why, you know, you can hand out the stuff and kind of go on your yearly budget. But if you still want to do projects down the road, we need to save up for projects. So that's really the philosophy.
And so when you take it against what we have as a reserve, remember that we're in a net zero game here. So this is where we could be for a long period of time. We could say we're happy with $100,000 reserve. If $100,000 isn't sufficient, then having a higher annual budget for stimulant is going to, like, it's going to have the end result of raising that.
Well, wouldn't it not be better to go ahead and put this executive director in our budget to show the city and anybody else that wants to look at it that we can afford this executive director that we're talking about?
That's a very good point.
We're not locked well, in. We haven't hired anybody, but we can show them that our budget can handle that.
And that's what this is showing too. Is
I mean, a budget is where you want to go, what you think you can do, and where you want to go. Correct.
I don't think we have to define, we keep saying executive director when we talk about it in our meeting. We're not sure what that necessarily entails yet,
We don't have to come up with
right.
that. We're just showing that we can financially handle whatever that is. The strategic plan determines. This is what the EDC has agreed upon that we can settle.
Right, yes.
For whatever label, whatever that looks like.
Right.
Well, going to your point, it's what's your priorities? That's all the budget is what are your priorities?
Can we all stop here for just a minute? And I've been reading the paper. I would like to know, I've been trying to get by and talk to you and have a chance. What has happened when all these other EDCs has gotten right where we are and it implodes?
Yeah.
What has happened? What's went south?
You're talking about like
executive director. There's nothing new under the sun. How many years ago was that? You prayed
yeah,
that
I was trying to it, yeah, it was all that.
It's
yeah,
a long time. This,
yeah. Just there wasn't any support. There wasn't much support from the city council at that time, and that's the way I remember it. I remember the articles, I remember all that research on it and everything, but there just wasn't a good consensus of support, and we were, I think I was president of the chamber, and we were trying to get to the committee thing, trying to get some applicants, and we actually got a couple of them that came in,
mm-hmm.
but we never could get to that next level of where we could get someone to get a consensus on the city council, because there were several of them that said they just were not in favor of spending money on that at that time.
Well, you've been the man that's been sitting here for how many years?
This is 96.
Okay, what would be your guesstimate that this has came up in conversation with all the different EDCs that have said where we're set?
I would say at least a half a dozen, at least, that I can think of off the top of my head. At least that many times. It's probably been more.
Well, they've had one. I mean, they had one for a while.
Yeah. But, it's just kind of, it looks, I went back and reviewed a few other things when he put this in the paper. And I'm like, they all get to where we are, and it implodes. Nobody wants to back it. Nobody, I was reading some minutes, and they were like us, oh, my gosh, what are we going to call this person? What are we going to do this person? And everybody gets lost in the weeds and is scared to put their whatever's on the line, and I'm ready to do that. I want an EDC director. Y'all call it whatever the heck you want, but I want to show that our EDC can sustain this. We can afford it at this time, and if the majority of us agree, then we should move forward.
Well, and a point to you, Risa, I think that we're bringing two things together at once. We're bringing the justification for an EDC director, and we're also executive director, and we're also bringing a plan together that executive director will be required to execute. So we're not hiring someone who needs to be managed. I mean, they will need to be managed. But when they get here, they're going to be given a book, and this is what you need to do. Go make it happen. Not a $10 million project book that he can't execute because there's not $10 million to be had, but something that is basically just sweat equity. Get in there and get this done. It's not going to cost a lot of money. It's just going to cost a lot of time. Getting these things together, working these things forward. There's going to be enough to keep that person busy for a long time.
Well, this is no different than me going to buy a new bulldozer and putting that in my 2020 budget. And I'm hoping that works. But right now, according to all of our past deals, I think I can afford this dozer. And this is what this dozer, how much more income this dozer is going to bring in, blah, 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 blah. It's no different,
right.
But it's got to be put in there.
Yeah. I think to the point though, what's different is I would submit that possibly what's different here is that we're buying the tractor with the workload at the same time.
Yeah.
We're connecting the tractor because I'm sure that there's been let's get an executive director and they get here and it's like, so what am I doing now?
But we have no idea what income that executive director is going to be at. That is a blue sky that we can never come up with a number on. But we know from our previous however many years you've got on there that we can afford this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care to come back here and do all this again. Let's decide if we can or can't put it in the budget. And if we have to amend the budget, I'd rather amend the budget the other way instead of going back and going, okay, we've been talking about this for 6 months and we think we can afford a, either we can or we can't.
Well, it looks like we can afford it. Depends on which way, you know, what do we want to budget?
What your priorities are,
I mean, do we want to go with the bottom of the line, the top of the line, or the middle of the line? I mean, I don't know.
Okay, is this the place to make motions for that?
I make a motion that we budget for $60,000 for executive director.
I second it.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Not call for the vote. All in favor say.
Motion to approve the budget
with a $60,000 amount.
For the budget line.
Yearly.
I mean, yeah. Annualized, so $45,000. What's shown on the far left column?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that. Okay.
So motion, second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
First
motion ever made.
Jeez, dude, you got to get in on
this. I just broke it.
Name on his paper
again. Just spell it right. All right.
Now we're on to treasurer's report.
Nope. We still got to approve the budget. We just approved the line.
Oh, that was just the line.
That was just the line. That was the motion was to do 60,000. So we'll just need
a
separate.
I can't see that. Is the expenses for the
that was approving just the line
for the executive director is that where is that at?
So that is. Hold on, I'm sorry.
That's not what I heard.
So the increase was $5,000.
The 60,000. I didn't hear.
We just approved
the line item. Now we can approve the budget as presented with that.
Yeah. And this is the budget presented.
Right. Yes. So let me do this. Let me get rid of H and I because those are gone.
So it's line one.
So now it's G.
Column G.
Yeah,
we're
in column G.
Okay.
So that would be with the grants as $100,820, $45,000.
Where's our $60,000 at?
It's an annualized $60,000.
Look at the budget column with the $45,000 in.
So we've got $2,000 extra
that's
for her for job.
Looking at.
No, that's what us. Because we don't have to train the contractor. We don't have to train. The big increase.
No, we're just discussing.
$600?
$500.
Oh.
Yeah. So you've got there the ones at $45,000 for this next year.
No.
If we don't find somebody.
If you don't find somebody, it's like a bill that isn't paid.
We're saying we can.
A margarita machine.
$45,000.
We have more attendance at our meetings.
I guess we could amend our budget too.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, if it's looking like it's not going to shake out, we can ask to amend our. We can try to amend our budget anyway. Go to council.
I mean.
Like 45.
that would put us in the process.
Right.
But that's...
Yeah. So we're good.
Yeah.
So now all we got to do is do we... Okay.
Yeah, is there any other line items on this now budget column to discuss, question? Not, we can go ahead and entertain a motion to approve the budget with that one figure of $45,000 in there, budget as a whole.
I make a motion to approve the budget so as presented in line G of the spreadsheet.
Got a motion.
Second.
Second from Danny. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? What's that?
Aye.
As in you're in favor or opposed? Okay. You're delayed.
Okay.
Approve the budget with $45,000.
All right. Where's my mic?
Motion carries. You done with this ball without the budget? I'm going now. All right, good.
Bye, Paul.
See ya.
Good. Thank you.
We did a good experiment. All right.
Do you want to just leave your chest in there?
No, absolutely. See ya.
All right, we're looking up the finances.
Is it 6:45? 6:45, okay. All right, yes, let's do the treasurer's report now.
Right.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne.
Have a good day.
All right, give me a second to reconnoiter here. Thank you, sir. I got 27 copies here, but I'll take the one you gave me. I appreciate it.
It's collated.
Have you ever recorded yourself anything? Hard to record yourself?
Bruce, I listed it as a discussion on the history of the EDC director.
No, this is a resource.
A treatise.
Sure.
We are basically just churning mud. We ain't doing nothing different than nobody else has ever done different before. Nothing new under the sun. There's a Bible verse like that.
Yes, there is. Go ahead.
For everything there is a season.
Turn.
No, it's in some other place. I don't know where. I'll need somebody more on that than me.
Okay, all right, we're in the financials.
Now we're going to number 7.
It's a new
consideration and actions to approve treasury
look for
payment of outstanding bills and investments.
All right, so we currently have a balance of $222,314.20 in the Austin County State Bank account. We have $138,942.04 in the F&B checking account. We have a total assets of $826,401.12. Our long-term liabilities are $324,928.96. For our total liabilities and equity of $1,670,175. The next page is the profit and loss budget performance.
Yeah,
I apologize. I printed it the wrong way.
I actually printed it, and when I tried to do it the other way, it was even smaller. So.
Oh, really?
Okay, so sales tax was a little bit higher than budgeted of $4,000. It was $26,000, so it was up. We had some all the rest of the expenses tracked for the most part. We had a little bit more web expenses, and I think that was because we put the expenses for, Paul under that amount.
Oh, yeah.
BDC sponsored grants is ever so slightly more than budgeted, and we are $4,000 less than budget at this point, with a year total of $15,000. We're still targeted for a zero annual differential. So that's the profit and loss budget performance. We've already gone over the projects, profit and loss, or the contingent liability as part of the budget discussion. We can go over that again if needed. Okay. We'll go on to the requested payments. Monthly bill for City of Belleville, monthly utility bills, $198.41, $53.76. Water bill, North Bell, $179.25.
Ooh, that's high.
Yeah, it is high.
Did your electric bill from the city yet?
Not yet. But this is a water bill for North Bell. That's way high.
That's high.
It's going on.
How many?
There's a lake.
We have the bill on here.
We do.
You have.
I have the bill.
I'm gonna say how many gallons we
have. Yeah.
That's
something weird.
Yeah, that's a leak. Because that's normally like $40
or... Before, let's see, last month it was what?
What are you talking about?
The North Bell water bill.
Here it is.
Something's leaking up there. If you would ask them, yeah.
Because it's been 45 before.
Yeah, it's about $130 over budget.
Danny, so. Can I get that back?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Lawn maintenance for all outdoors, $700. And Miss Leanne Ludeker for her services, $350. For total requests of $6,355.36.
Nothing new? Nothing else came in?
Yeah. We have another one? Oh, the grant, we have the
life changes.
Life changes.
Hospital.
Oh, yeah. It's over there.
Life changes at one grant. Yeah.
Life changes. I did see the sign. The sign's nice.
Yeah.
Hospital Foundation, correct. That's who we give the money to. Wasn't in these, was it?
No, so there's this for all this
paperclip.
Yes. They have it. They died already.
They paid it. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Let me pull up the bill for. So this was the bill that was submitted for.
Came in cheaper.
Oh, what?
Come on, mouse work.
Put it on your pad.
Yeah. So this was the bill that was presented from Life Changes for $1,190.75. That would be so on our list. Yes.
What did we approve?
We approved $595.38.
$595.
Which is half of that.
$595.38. Okay, so $595.38, and then what about the foundation?
And then the foundation, I brought it and I can't find it. There's a package with a paperclip on it.
Okay. You want to take a break?
If it's vital, we can take a 5-minute break and I go get it. Because if it's not in that package, it was sitting on my desk when I left. It's at the hospital.
As long as you know what it is, how much it is. Do you know how much it is? No. Okay. Well,
we can put it in there to approve it. I mean, as long as it's under our the 62,493.78.
Mm-hmm. It should be, because that's what we authorized.
Yeah, but you said it was less, didn't you, here? You thought it was?
I thought it was going to come in cheaper. There was talks about, like, using the leftover deuce, something else.
Well,
I think we
just put in there.
And if you want to take a 5-minute break, I can run over there real quick and grab it and come right back.
Do what?
If you want to take a 5-minute break, I can grab it. It's, I must have just missed it. It was on my desk this morning.
No, I mean, I think we ought to just go vote to approve it, that or less. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
The 62,493.78 or less.
Okay. Or less. And would you do me a favor and just email the number and I'll put that in the minutes? Okay. We did this last month actually, so
Okay. So what I'll do right after this is I will, as a matter of fact, what I'll do is I will leave here, get the number, write the check, come see you in the morning, and will you count it?
Right. Right.
That's what we paid him that. Yeah. 962,493.
Okay. Well then, I'll make a motion to approve the report and to pay the bills as presented, with the caveat of up to $62,493.78 for the Belleville Hospital Foundation.
And including the...
including life changes of
$595.38. And, Rick, if you want to come by, if you get it done and come by the shop, I'll sign the check.
Yeah.
Tonight?
Tonight
or tomorrow?
No, tomorrow.
Okay,
because
I was just going to go buy a pack.
Oh, tomorrow.
I just need the number. I just
I was going to say, if I come by tonight, I'm going to pick
no,
up your walk.
No,
up.
No, not tonight. I'll second.
But let's... Okay. Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we can cut the life changes one tonight.
Yeah, we'll write that one out and we'll sign it. Right. Someone else sign it.
Okay.
What's next?
The advertising and tourism.
Right. Number 7 and 8. Advertising and tourism.
Action to approve advertising tourism.
Thought it was a lovely report, and make a motion to approve the report.
I second it.
Second. Any discussion? Favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Number 4.
We're now number 10.
Consideration and action is needed on grant requests for Brooks Fender Joint Venture for short term rental at 531 South Holland. Y'all have received that application last month.
So some of this stuff.
Look at it. There's a breakdown. Yeah. About in the middle of the way through, a little.
It's probably a good place to start.
Right here, this sheet got orange and green on top. I think start there. Because you know, about the first top half, you got to strike off.
I'm not sure why it's on there.
Yeah.
You know the
detail.
You know, I mean, we can't do furniture, appliances, security deposit, bedroom sheets, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I almost, internet set up. I mean, I'm starting at the electric and going down. That's where I'm thinking.
I'm all for the electric.
Yeah.
I believe that would be just an investment in Belleville that could, I mean, it's a cute little house. I just see the house next to it is going up for auction. House north of it, Lisa Cooper south of it, the house north of it's going up for auction sometime in August.
Oh, the green one.
Yeah.
Switzer. Have y'all seen anywhere that where how many it sleeps? Did I just overlook that?
How many what?
It
how
sleeps.
Many it sleeps? Did y'all see that?
I think it's just a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, isn't it?
It's a small one, yeah. It's like
four. So it is 2-bedroom? Where did y'all see that?
I don't think I saw it.
Okay. I've talked to Lisa, but I didn't know if it was.
I don't know if it says it in here.
Bringing 15 people to Bell is one thing, and bringing two is.
I mean, I think it's like enough, you know.
Yeah.
This is good. We want to encourage the B&Bs to come, to keep coming to us, happy to help them, but I think it's highlighting the fact that we should probably come up with something specific. For them, or
we can allocate a number, and I go back to, and I've been thinking about this one, this house particularly, just because it's a small little starter house, and I really worry about affordable housing. I really worry about the availability of affordable places, and that we're taking one off the rolls. You know, this is I looked at it today. It's valued at $100,000. Obviously, it needs work. And I don't know that it would sell otherwise, but the one thing I keep hearing people crying for is I can't find any place I can afford in Belleville or Sealy or anything in this area. And I worry about us. The other B&B I thought was fine. I think the B&Bs in business areas are fine. I worry about taking little starter housing and promoting the idea of taking starter housing stock out of the stock. And
well,
that's just my hesitation on this.
I mean, I don't think that's going to change even if we don't give
that's,
any money.
Right.
I mean,
y'all almost done fell off the side of the cliff there. We're not, there's no backpedaling.
Boy, that's terrible.
I mean, I can't help it. I mean, it's just the way it is because, our markets are nuts. I mean, if somebody had told me 5 years ago that people would be paying what they're paying for houses in this town, I'd have called them a liar. I mean, and it's no doing of our, well, it was kind of doing, I mean, but anyway, I'll back that out. But it is, I don't know.
Well, but if it's going to be, you know, I guess in terms of if we're going to spend public money on it, it's what are our priorities on that? And I'm struggling with that.
But I also look at it as that's two to four people that are coming into town and they're lifting some of the tax burden off the residents.
Yeah.
The B&Bs is just, it's tough because I like them. The hot patch you brought that report last meeting has it's increased. It's showing that the ones we're helping, of course, they're just going to be there no matter what, but they're the ones showing up on that list, which is good to see.
And these are the people that are dropping money, sales tax money. So they're giving us double benefit. I mean, we're getting the hot tax from them, and we're getting. But I mean, I wish I would like to spend a day in Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg had to get to this point, Pat, at some point, because their real estate makes ours look like a bargain basement.
Oh, I know.
So, I don't know where do the people that work at these places, the people that clean these places, where do they live?
It's become a real problem. It around the country, it's become a real problem. We're not nearly a tourist hub like Fredericksburg is or anything like that. But I just, you know, I'll see that on these Facebook chat groups of, you know, I'm looking for a place for this. And then you look to see what's available to rent, and it's way above that. And, these folks are going to do what these folks are going to do. And it's a question of where do we encourage that growth? Where do we encourage this type of thing to come in? I think the B&Bs do fill a need because we don't have a hotel. So in that side, it's good. On the other side, I look at this and I think, you know, would a young family be in there? You know, would a young couple be starting there? Because where do they start now? So I don't know. It's, do we encourage that?
I've got a good kind of rub it in our face or y'all's faces exercise. Go see what we have. Go see what we have left in our budget for it.
Okay.
Why don't y'all run through that exercise?
All right, what do we have?
We're at $10,000 over our budget.
Well,
but it's because of the hospital thing.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? But that's, I guess, where, like, it all kind of comes back to that, like, why?
Well, you still need all that dang money sitting in the bank.
Right. Yeah, no, I like spending the money. It was bothering me that we weren't spending
money.
Don't
let that affect you. I just wanted to, like,
yeah, but that's
enjoy.
Not
right.
Flex
okay.
My muscle a little bit there.
Fine.
So I'll get back on. it's, you know, the priority, like that says, it's what's the priority.
I am, no matter where this house goes, if it ends up in, as a young family with children in there, I would love to see the electrical upgraded. If it ends up, if at least if you run an Airbnb, I want to see people staying in safe accommodations.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, we're not upgrading the electric for everybody in town who needs it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. If it does, you know, Lisa is a reputable person in town. She's a business person. She lives right beside this. I think it's a really good bet that this is going to be a well taken care of property. But life changes, things happen. If Lisa moves out of town and they don't get to have a, that's what I'm saying, this is just, I can't go for these other things in here. I can't, but this is something that would benefit Belleville no matter how it falls. In 5 years, if it's not an Airbnb, we have a safe house that could maybe bring in a little bit more, more taxes.
You know, Garrett and I had talked about this the thing, and I know I don't want to overthink this thing, and you know, we're not going to, you know, are we going to get burned once? Yes, I know we are. We have, and we are going to again. But, you know, I just don't want to be paying for everybody's rent house if we're going to do that. Heck, I've got a couple of neat upgrades.
I know, but y'all overthink it. Don't say
no,
it.
I know.
You are the
that's what I'm saying.
All y'all are overthinking. It just drives me.
But I just want to make sure, you know, we have to have something.
There's no guarantees in life.
I know. The only clawback we have is they have to be in business for a year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So put new electricity in the house and rest easier knowing that if she fails and some little young couple's living in there 2 years, no kid's going to get fried by the bad electrical and we all sleep better. Yeah. I make a motion that we pass $5,734.37 to pay for new electrical in this
Half of it? We got to remember we're half.
Half.
We only do half.
Okay, I'm going to give her half. Unless there's something else y'all think would be appropriate. I'm not real big on air conditioning.
No, I wasn't going to have a, well, but you've already got a motion. I was looking at the electrical.
I can withdraw.
Everything else but the AC.
I'll withdraw it.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking of the plumbing.
So what's the number?
Yeah, she has a motion. I have
basically, if that's the one, the only one we want, the only line here we want to approve.
I'll withdraw it. Let's keep discussing. I'll withdraw the motion.
I think the idea would be let's pick the things we're good with and remember that we're paying half of those.
Okay. 50%. Right. I forgot that. That totally went past my mind.
So,
So electric, plumbing, and
painting. If I added right, the electrical, the plumbing, the painting, the landscaping, and fencing come to $10,008.12.
$8.12.
Somebody may run on our calculator. That's, electric, plumbing, painting, landscaping, and fencing.
So half of that.
If you want to, I'm just saying that's.
Did we do fencing for?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yes, no. That'd be a Garrett question.
I thought we said no.
Floor.
I thought we didn't.
No, on what?
Fencing.
Floor,
we did not do
deck.
Deck.
No, the deck we didn't
deck.
Do.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we would do half on electric, plumbing, painting, landscaping, and fencing.
I haven't ever had much fence done, but you can't build much fence for $274. That must be about the size of this desk.
It must be like a little facade kind of thing.
Just to cover up the air conditioner, maybe.
You want me to add that up real quick?
Yes, please. Yes.
You want to make sure?
5734.
Yeah, I'll rattle them off. And then $1,000. And $2,000. And another $1,000. $274.12. Well, you got 49. Where'd you get 49? Oh, okay. I didn't have the 37 on top of that. You're right. Golly.
Throw $600 on that. Throw $600 to that. See what comes up to.
Throw $600.
Just add $600 into that lighting allowance.
Lighting allowance? Where is that? Oh, that was on.
What's that total here?
That would be 10.6.
10,000.
10.6.
So
$5,608.49.
So half of that is
$5,304.
$20.04 and 25 cents.
Is there lighting?
I don't see lighting.
I think it's written on
the
it's written on something else.
Is that part of the electric?
I'm just lumping that as in the electric, right?
I thought it was another line item.
No, it's not.
It's just an allowance. It's an allowance. She can spend up to $600 to pay that. Okay, back that off. Sorry.
Okay.
So what's our number?
$5,004.25 would be our portion.
25 EDC portion. Okay.
So if we
$10,008.50 is the full amount.
Let me get back to that page. 10,000. If we go with what we said before, the electric, plumbing, painting, landscaping, fencing.
Yep. So half of that would be
whatever
5,000.
You read off to me. What is
five,
that?
Yep. Yeah. That's how that looks.
10,008.49. Is that? Am I right in saying that?
Yes. That sounds right. Yes.
And you've got all
the what is y'all's feelings on that amount?
Anybody?
I'm okay with it.
I mean,
it would be different if we had like five people lined up for grants every month. We just don't. I don't know.
We're getting one or two a month now.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, but we can do what we have. And
sure.
My thought is we're at the end of the year almost, and if you take out the hospital thing, there's room.
Yes.
In the budget. But
there's plenty of room in the budget.
At some point, we've got, I think, to reel in some of the, like, the B&Bs and get a more specific package because there's going to be.
We can sit down when it comes,
But every time we restrict ourselves.
And nothing major, but maybe a number limitation. You
Well, you know, even if it were a number, I think it would be nice to have some guidelines. Because it was, because I feel bad I'm throwing these people to you because you know
it's
so much.
It's a nightmare.
Sorry.
It's such a nightmare. But, like, you know.
You know it backwards and forwards a lot better than I do. And now all I'm doing is calling you, so I'm just cutting out the middleman.
At least it was easy. But, like, you know, do we want to increase the length of time they need to stay in business, you know, being a B&B? Do we want to? I've always been not skeptical.
I would like to see that.
But I'd like to see a sign. Like, if you're a business, you should be getting a sign, which will help you pay for it if you apply. But,
you know, I like this. I mean, we're kind of getting off. The sign, I like it, but I don't think I want the streets all lined up with signs.
No.
4x6 billboards
and
everybody goes,
signs.
Put it up on the house somehow. So if you are, you know, because most people that do look for B&Bs on the internet, you know, but, you know, if you're driving by, at least you see, oh, there's a sign on, that must be it.
I request that we put this in next month, September, to address this as an agenda item, maybe set a committee for this or something that we...
I'd be good with that.
For B&B guidelines. And it would help these people, too, when they come to us.
You say, here it is.
Yes.
Exactly. Cut and dry and simple.
Okay.
So if we could put that next month's agenda.
I'm writing it down.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion. We're going to, on this, the grant for, what is it called, Brooks Fender?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to pay for the electric, plumbing, painting, landscaping, and fencing upgrades, which comes to an amount of $10,008.49. And
EDC portion would be $5,004.25.
Up to that much.
Yes.
So that's a 5,004.25.
Motion and second. Any discussion?
Yes. I have one question.
Electric, plumbing, painting, fencing, and landscape.
You mentioned a sign.
There's nothing in there.
No.
Okay. No. And the only one thing I wanted to mention what a sign was is that if you're concerned about signs lining up the street, the best way to control that is to approve the signs that line up the street. So it's kind of a underhanded way of controlling.
Well, the city has ordinance on signs too.
I'm just saying that if we approve a sign, then it's gonna be.
But we're actually not
crazy.
In this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There's a sign ordinance, and city council was reviewing some of those.
But I don't think that. I don't think nobody enforces it though.
Yeah,
but
that's
a
whole other deal. Yeah. Okay.
That was
also,
question.
Can we put on next month's agenda to review this 9 month?
Can we just have motion?
Yeah,
I'll
sorry.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to vote no.
Right. Motion carries.
Gary, can I ask a question? Is Paul still voting or no?
No, Paul's out. Gone. Paul has left the meeting.
He's gone.
He left at the end of the budget.
Paul has left the building.
I would like to see us review this 9 month thing. I think that's, these businesses don't have the money. I can't understand why it would take that long
Let's
to do
it. Let's put it on
that.
The agenda
then,
like to guideline revision.
Well, yeah. I mean, that would actually be, we could do it as all part of one thing. There,
yeah.
It's guidelines on the business grant.
Bring your ideas on what
your
you want to change.
But
well, actually, it's just for the guidelines. It's just period.
Okay.
Guidelines. Yeah.
Yeah, we're discussion of on the business grant.
Opens it all up. Okay.
And then would that encompass the B&B
thing? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll get some examples.
Because that's where the money comes out of in that budget item that's, you know, over budget.
Because here's a question for you. If you're a B&B and you stay in business forever with zero expenses and now you have a renewed house that you're staying in, you could have a business as a B&B forever, never make a dime because you pay for a business that's never gone out of business but isn't a business.
Yeah, you want to make sure it's actually a business.
Yeah.
We have some in those guidelines.
Okay, let's do that next month. Let's keep moving because it's 7:15.
Number 11, consideration action is needed on grant request for 22 North Holland. Joe's application process. It's a little different than what we're used to. I've talked with Cody a few times and emailed and stuff, and he's got a good solid head on his shoulders, and the restaurant idea is exciting. It's going to be something to do as far as what we'd be funding, right? This is like the pre-work, work costs, et cetera, plans, drawings, then the costs associated with those. So back to guidelines and restricting or not, one thing I would really
consider, think about hard, at least that again. It's something that we include in the motion to, if people think it's appropriate to approve it all, is we can give you the money up front. I mean, once you do get the, because technically, if we approve this as is per our guidelines, as soon as his plans are done, he can pay his plan bill to the engineer and the architect, show us the invoice, and we give him his check. And he's satisfied the guidelines. He can hang on to those plans for 20 years. He doesn't have to do the work. He can just hold on to the plans. So I'd like to see us add something that also stipulates you got to do the work associated with these plans. We'll give you the money just like you normally would. But if you want to do the work within, this is your chance to experiment with how many months maybe, then we're going to ask for our money back. We're going to come get it back. You know what I mean?
I don't like any of this except for,
yeah.
And there's nothing, he doesn't leave anything in Belleville. Mm-hmm. If it goes south, he leaves except for the asbestos testing.
We're paying for his due diligence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a different animal, you know.
I mean, if he gets this done, and then we support
back,
him in his bill.
He wants to redo the electric.
He wants to actually build what they do.
Yeah.
Anybody just listen to what I said?
No, I heard what you said. Okay.
I'm saying
I agree with Risa
also
that
on doing the work,
yeah.
Right, associated with these plans, like the physical work.
I know, but can we do that?
Yeah, we can add whatever and take out whatever we want. Like as far as the stipulation, like if we say we're approving this,
mm-hmm.
with one stipulation, the work associated with these different plans that you're getting done, MEP, the structure, physical work, also has to get done within 12 months and we're going to come get our money back, the clawback exercise, the clawbacks that we...
Well, what if he does his due diligence here and he finds out that there's more there than he can afford? That's what scares me about this.
Yeah.
This is a big...
Then he doesn't satisfy that stipulation of doing the work, and we say, give us our money back, and he means tell us.
Well, it's a lot easier not to give it to him than get it back.
I understand.
Why? Yeah. Would he have a problem coming to us after this?
I think so.
That's what
I would
much
say. Rather pay for electrical upgrades and roof upgrades and things like that.
You know, in our grant, it doesn't really say anything for engineering.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you know, I know we did it for the turnaround.
A special project.
I know, that's a special project. But, you know, in ours, it's more for infrastructure. It's not for engineering.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point that the whole theory behind it was at least work's going to get done, you know, and at least the building will be improved. And right. I think there's a real strong possibility. And honestly, knowing those buildings over there, there's probably surprises.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Completely up to y'all. Absolutely.
I don't see a dime of this going to Belleville. As far as there's nobody in Belleville that does anything on this list. Mm-hmm. I mean, just try to look at it from an economic deal. And the asbestos testing, because that.
I would say, first, I greatly love the project.
Yes.
I really want to see this restaurant go in.
Yes.
I have concerns that it doesn't fit our guidelines as well.
Well. That's my thought. I'd like to go back to him and say, look, once you get all this stuff done, come back to us.
Yeah.
And exactly. we want to help you out.
Yeah.
You know, with the infrastructure, whatever we have to, but, it's just...
I disagree. I think it does fit our guidelines, but I also lean on the same side as what I like to do through that grant program. I mean, it's clear it says it includes, but ain't limited to... This, and this. So, and that you specifically put it in there. I think doing the more physical things is fine. But I've always, I tell Danny this all the time. If somebody comes to me with an applicant, I'm not going to tell somebody we ain't going to do it. I'm going to say, fill it out,
yeah.
Do all the work for you, and then I'm going to turn it in.
Take it to the board.
And so
I
give advice, and I told them, you know, this is different.
That's why we're people, and that's why they put us here, is to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. We don't need guidelines to tell us exactly what we can and
right.
can't do. That's, we're people and we have brains.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he had planned to come back once the work and stuff started too. This probably is a special project, I guess. But I told him, no harm in trying.
Is there any way for us to, like, do a formal resolution to go, we thoroughly believe in this project, think it's an excellent addition to Belleville?
Yeah.
You know.
Sure, we can do. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Well, I make a motion that we. I mean, I want it to be known that we are. We're not just going to. I want that I.
So make motion. We support this project.
Yes.
Bruce,
do what?
Have you seen the narrative?
Yeah, he's got a copy.
He's got some really good.
I thoroughly support this. I think it will be a tremendous asset to Belleville, and I have all intentions of approving funds at future. I don't know.
I would stay away from forward approving funds, but I think we should a strongly worded letter to the editor that says we believe that this is in the economic benefit of Belleville and that we are excited to see the progress of this and look forward to seeing this person in the future and
yeah.
discuss how we can support this project.
Sounds great. Good.
Got that, Pat?
No. Try that, Pat. Okay, we make a motion. We support this project. Believe it to be an asset.
Believe it to be in the best interest of the economic future of Belleville. We excited. We look forward to engaging this person in the future with assisting with working with this person in the future to move this project forward.
Okay.
That second. Wait, did somebody?
I'll second. I guess. I don't think anybody. I don't know who made
that's
the motion.
That's my motion.
Recently.
That's what Rick just said. That's my motion.
Okay.
Forward.
Danny second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number 12. And I'll let it out to talk to him. Number 12.
Osterbridge Jail Museum. Okay. Nobody can make it. They haven't filled out an application yet. This is Bruce had called me. They have been working on this at the jail museum. They are looking into air conditioning, the second and third floor. And they specifically stated this is not for mainly for tourism. This is for preservation. Evidently, they're having a lot of issues with everything rusting in there. All the bars, and the bars are swelling up because of the rust, popping all the plaster and concrete. They're trying to keep it so it doesn't, so it kind of preserves the building. It doesn't just fall down from the top down or whatever. I could have just gave you a copy. I'm going to read this, what he sent me. The Museum Association is in need of securing architectural drawings for the jail section of the museum. You know, if you haven't been in there, the bottom floor is already air conditioned. These drawings are necessary for HVAC and electrical general contractors to properly bid on the installation of an HVAC system. We tried to get bids in the past only to find the estimated cost of the system was 2 to 3 times higher than normal due to no drawings being available. The contractor stated without drawings there would be accepted too much liability, so they bid higher for liability and unknown events. The museum has received a quote of $24,390 to complete the drawings. If the board can secure enough funding, we anticipate these drawings to be completed by the end of fiscal year 2000, fourth quarter of this year. If we are successful in obtaining these drawings, we will reapply to Texas Historical Commission for a grant to help cover the cost of the HVAC electrical system. We were successful earlier this year to have been accepted into the grant program, but had to withdraw due to because they didn't have the drawings ready. The museum would like to inquire if Belleville EDC would contribute $10,000 toward the cost of these drawings. Our county has authorized $10,000 toward the drawings. Currently, you know, the museum has $15,000 in their account, but most of, if not all of this money is earmarked for yearly operating costs. Moving forward, if this is something EDC would entertain, I will try and get a board member to approach EDC and request funds. He wanted to fill out the grant application. I told him to just start filling it out, but he was leaving to go to Singapore the next day, and so they want to possibly be in September. It's just stuff that I'm throwing out there. Supposedly they think they can get a grant for part of the AC, but this is just preliminary. You know, I even reached out to, and I'm waiting. I'm going to have to remind my daughter-in-law that. Somebody brought this up the other day, and I just threw it out there. She works for Dyken over there in Waller County, HR person. And I asked her, I said, hey, do you think they have any kind of a program that they would, a discounted rate, give to historical buildings for preservation? She said, you know, they should, but I don't know. She hadn't been working there long enough, so she's supposed to be looking into it. You know, I think that would be a, she said, plus we could advertise. I said, exactly. So I don't, that's all I have. You know, if anybody has any questions, I probably couldn't answer them, but just threw it out there. They may come back and ask.
I think they should, but
yep.
It's the drawing plan thing.
That's it. They just have to,
once again, the drawing plan.
This one too. It's like the other one.
I know, exactly. It's drawings, the same thing. I know this would be a, probably a special project, but
live by the sword, die by the sword.
I know. Okay, number 13.
No action.
No action.
Okay.
Well, we don't have a request.
We don't have just no request, just information.
Consideration and action is action is needed on Belleville Villages. I did not have a confirmation.
You wanted to talk?
Yeah, I know. Can this go to?
It can go to executive session.
Okay.
Yep.
It'll go to
so I think we need
session.
A motion to do that, right, Pat?
No, I don't think so. You can.
That comes to number 15.
We're going at 7:20.
We want to. We're going to skip number 14.
Oh, we're going to move this to executive session.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we can go to number 14, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Main Street. Quiet zone. You think Quiet Zone?
I talked to Sean today. He said no real update yet. The TxDOT's kind of got it in the mix. They're trying to decide if they have to reapply to TxDOT. And he was waiting for word back. So no update on Quiet Zone at this moment.
Community relations. I guess this is where we do any of the vision committee update. Do you want to do anything, Rick?
I just wanted to.
You got some?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have anything other than what I gave to the city. So I'm just going to throw this up here. This was the report that was given to the city at the city council meeting. Basically, we've got four pillars, which are services, population, economic development, stewardship. Give us some time to explain what stewardship means. Basically means promoting the spirit of Belleville, for lack of a better word.
Could you forward that to me?
I certainly can.
That would be awesome.
I'll forward this to everybody.
That would be
but
good.
This is the only thing. I'll just forward this to everybody for the
that'd
report.
Work, yep.
And give us an update on the last couple of meetings. So we're moving strong. We have our next meeting coming up here shortly. And we are up to here right now in economic development discussion. So it's where we currently are. We're engaged in the first pillar already.
Y'all got a very nice compliment from Doug Lottridge.
I'm sorry?
Y'all got a very, I watched the video. Mm-hmm. Y'all got, the city council got a very nice compliment from Doug Lottridge that he was impressed with the facilitator and everything, how it was going, so it's good.
Things are moving. We've had, and like I said, the biggest thing I can say is that there's been open minds. We've been very honest with ourselves. We've addressed not just the things that we're happy about, the things we're not happy about. We've looked at the good things and the bad things, and we haven't shied away from any discussion yet. So.
Cool.
When is the next meeting?
Garrett?
For some reason, I was just thinking that I thought it was August 3rd, but that didn't make sense.
It's next.
Like Tuesday, probably.
Yes, it's next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Because I have a meeting with Diane tomorrow. And it's next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
During the day?
During
the day?
Yeah.
During the day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They got a special city council meeting, don't they, next Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. What time?
Probably
5:30.
And we're on track. We're on track to present a proposal by the end of the year.
Budget.
Budget.
Hotel, I respectfully ask that the hotel committee be dismantled.
Can I do the same with the Main Street for now?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
You're the president.
You just drop it, man. Okay. All right.
Oh, wait. We did have a strategic. Now we got a strategic plan committee.
Yeah. See, it's in there.
He's there.
Nothing on the admin committee.
I think we've admined enough tonight.
Yeah.
Shall we sojourn?
Yes.
So break to Chambers at 7:29.